an example in my life. I'm actually training for a half marathon, all right? Actually, Alexa Zamora is in the house. She's running it with me. What? She's training with me. It's really embarrassing when you've been training for months and then you go running with someone who's been training not at all and like you're out of breath and they're like just dandy, not even sweating. Thank you, Alexa, okay? But we're training this half marathon and I didn't know it was 13.1 miles when I signed up. I thought, you know, 5K, a 3K, whatever K. I didn't know what I was really signing up to. I just wanted to be cool. Never do that again. And so I've been training for this half marathon. We've been going running, but I go running in my neighborhood, run the hills, run the neighborhood, everything like that. And this particular morning I was running, and I was running up a hill, and I had my worship music on. And I was like, God, if you're real, get me up this hill. And so I blasted the music, and I'm like, run, you know you in the zone. Like, I thought I was Rocky, 100%. And I'm running, and I wasn't really paying attention to my surroundings. And by the time I looked up, there was two dogs chasing me, okay? And I was, it's quite a terrifying experience if you've never endured it. I was so scared. There was like no words coming out. It was just weird noises, okay? I hope no one Snapchat it. And here I'm like running and I see the dogs and there's this one and it's like it wants blood. I could see it in its eye. The devil was in those eyes. And it's after me and I have some pepper spray, but I've never had to use pepper spray, so I don't know how to use it. So I'm like, in the name of Jesus, right? But it's, the safety is still on, okay? And so I'm going like this, nothing's happening. I'm like, God, you have forsaken me. And I'm so scared. But then I look at the other dog, and this dog was hilarious, a little bit smaller. This dog is like, right? But then it's like, but then it's like, and then it's like, it was like, it was like really into it, and then it was really scared. And then it was like really into it, and then it was really scared. And I just thought it was hilarious, but as I was thinking about it, I was like, man, that is so us with God. Like, we are like, this healing is mine. Wait, I don't know if God wants to heal me, though. Right? No, this new promotion, this is totally mine. But you know, I sinned last week, so maybe God doesn't like me anymore. And we go in, and then we go out. And then we go in, and we pull out. And it's so us with God. But I wonder if God is trying to take shift deeper to a new place where we're not going after something and we quickly let go. But I wonder if God is calling us to take a stand and hold on and fight until we see the victory in our life. Because the reality is that we cannot let life just happen to us. You cannot let life just happen. I ask people how it's going. How's it going? Oh, I'm okay. I'm just going with the flow. Yeah, that's how work is. It's just what's been my, you know, I just got dealt this. This is it. No. You cannot let life just happen to you. If we're sick, we can't stay sick. You know what? If we are in depression, we cannot just stay in depression. If we are addicted to something, we cannot just stay in that addiction. Hey, if we are not able to pay the bills, we cannot just stay in that place of poverty. That's not how God wired us. That's not how God built us. I know that, you know, going after life with faith is almost a counterintuitive way to life. It's not how society does it. Most people run from their problems. It makes more sense. But God has wired Christians differently. We don't run from our problems. We run straight at our problems with the name of Jesus. And so that is what we are talking about tonight. And I hope you brought your Bible because I got a whole lot of verses, okay? Is it okay if we read the Bible tonight in church? Is that all right with everybody? And so I want you to turn to a verse. It's in Ephesians 1:3. And there's this verse, and I actually forgot about the verse, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. But I forgot about this verse. I had read it a long time ago. I think most Christians have never read this verse in their life, because if we did, life would look different. And it says in Ephesians 1:3, it says, "All praise to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." It says every spiritual blessing. It's that simple. God has said, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You want healing? I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You want a better job? I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You want some joy in your life and stop hating your life? I've blessed you with every spiritual blessing. We think, wait, that's for the pastors. That's for the people who don't sin as much as me. That's for the leaders. No, this is for the church. This was written to us. If you are a believer in this place, can I get a whoop whoop? Okay? If you are a believer, this is for you. It's not based on you. It says, because you are united with Christ. But I feel like a lot of the times we say, I know I can't have it all. So I'll just take that. No, I'll probably take that. But I know God doesn't want to give me it all. But he does. He wants to give you every spiritual blessing. I would go as far as to say is that the devil doesn't want us to know that verse. Because once we understand, wait a second, I don't have to put up with this stuff anymore. Wait a second, my life could look a lot better than it does now. I don't think the devil wants us to know this verse. You see, society, Hollywood, they painted this picture of the devil like a cartoon, right? I mean, even as a Christian, sometimes like, right, devil, you know, kind of funny. But they paint this picture of the devil like he's this cartoon, but the reality is that he's not a cartoon. We have an enemy out there. It says in the Bible that he roams around seeking who he may devour. Do you think he wants us to know that we have every spiritual blessing? The reality is that there is a spiritual realm all around us. There is a devil. There is demons. There is a spiritual realm all around us. I mean, the Bible talks about it. The Bible talks about these angels. Angel Michael in the Old Testament. Angel Michael was sent and he went and in the spiritual realm, he was fighting a demon over Persia. The Bible talks about an angel, Gabriel, who came to Mary and told Mary about Jesus. The Bible talks about angels who surround you and me, believers, everywhere we go. There is a spiritual realm we cannot see. And it's almost exciting. Because don't you feel that there's something more to just the physical? I mean, you gotta feel it. That's why I have friends who climb to the top of mountains and they pray to the universe because they feel that there's something deeper than just the physical. That's why I have friends who buy crystals and they put all this money in these other religions and they're seeking all of these things because they feel that there's something deeper. I mean, you feel it, right? I mean, haven't you ever, you know, just been on your way with God and all of a sudden, like a dark cloud over you, depression hits. You're saying, where did that come from? Haven't you ever said, you know what, this is it. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to leave it all behind. Here I go. And all of a sudden, everything is coming against you. All of a sudden, those text messages from your ex. All of a sudden, those text messages from your friends who love to hang out at bars. And you said, I don't want to do that no more. But they got your new number somehow. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, we feel it. Because we're spiritual beings. We are a spirit living in a body. And there's a spiritual realm all around us. And Paul describes it for us so that any of us who are like, oh my gosh, what is happening? In Ephesians 6, if you're in Ephesians, just turn over to Ephesians 6. The Bible describes this as the good fight of faith. Ephesians 6:10, it says, Paul is writing, he says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, put on all of God's armor, and you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You see, we have to understand that there is a fight. This is a spiritual battle. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. but we are fighting against principalities and powers of darkness. Let me explain it like this. Not too long ago, there's something going on in our family, and I was just ready to blow. I was ready to like box somebody, okay? Praise God. I was like in another city. Thank you, Jesus. He knows. And I was like, but you know what? I'm going to get on that phone, and I'm going to dial that number. And when that person, you know, like laying it all out in my head, every detail possible. And when they answer, and I was just ready to like give it to them, okay? Like Beth was about to cuss somebody out, hallelujah. And as I'm about to do it, I'm so angry, and I have so much right to be angry. And this still small voice said, "You're not fighting them. You know that, right?" I was like, "God, why you gotta talk to me like that?" But okay. "You're not fighting them. You can scream at them. You can yell at them. You can go over and punch them in the face. But you're not really fighting them. There is a spirit of disunity trying to come into your family. And are you going to let it stay?" And immediately I was like, okay, I'll call them later then. But I'll pray first. And so I grabbed my Bible and I began to pray. I put on some worship music and I began to pray and pray. And I began to pray for them. And I said, "God, bring forgiveness in our hearts. I rebuke disunity in Jesus' name." And I began to pray because I wasn't fighting them. The devil was trying to come in my family and rip us apart. You see, we have to get this understanding. It is not flesh and blood that we're fighting, but it is principalities. You see, we have enemies to fight against. We have a captain to fight for. We have a banner to fight under. And we have certain rules of war which we are to govern ourselves. We have an enemy in front of us. And we have a captain to fight for. His name is Jesus. And we have to get this understanding. But in Luke, I love that Jesus, he set me free with this verse because it can be a little daunting. It can be a little overwhelming as we're hearing all this, like what is happening. But Luke, in chapter 10, go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 10, Jesus is speaking and he basically lays it down for us. Lays it down. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is speaking. It says, "Look, I have given you all authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you." Hold up. Ain't nobody wants to see you walk on scorpions, okay? That's not what he's talking about. Nobody wants to see you strangle no snakes, okay? That ain't this kind of church, okay? But he's talking about the evil powers of the enemy. That's what he's talking about. But I love what he says. He says, "I've given you authority over the power of the enemy." Jesus says, "You have the authority." This was written to the believers. If you are a Christ follower, if you are a Christian, if you have Jesus as your Savior, this is for you. It's not just for the pastors or the leaders or the perfect people. This is for you. And I love that he said authority. He didn't say power. Jesus didn't say you have the power to fight the enemy, because you don't. I don't have the power to overcome the devil because I've sinned. You've sinned. We've all sinned. I don't have the power, but I do have Jesus within me, and Jesus is the power. You see, authority is simply delegated power. Let me put it like this. Have you ever been to a stoplight, and the stoplight is out, and a police officer has to go in the middle, and they're directing traffic, and you're always like, me, no, me, yes, you know, right? Anyone else feels so nervous, and you're scared you're going to hit them and go to jail? I'm like so nervous. Can't even talk about it. Okay, so they're like, come on, no, right? Okay, so if they were trying to stop all these cars, does that police officer have the power or the strength to stop a car? No, but he does have the authority. You see, we don't have the power, but Jesus just said, wait a second, but I'm giving you the authority. So next time that sickness tries to come in here, next time that cancer tries to show up again, next time that depression tries to overwhelm you, next time that overwhelming fear tries to stop you, next time that anxiety is just all in your head, you have the authority to cast it out. You have the authority to say, right, stop right there, devil. Not another foot. Because it's not you, but it's the power that is within you. Jesus has given you, the church, the power. The value of authority depends on the force behind the user. And that's Jesus. Now, Jesus is a powerful name. I use the name of Jesus when I pray always. Because Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, you can have it. Now, y'all, don't trip. Let's not get twisted. If you're praying for, like, a married man to come to you, that ain't going to happen. Jesus ain't about that, okay? Like, these are godly things, all right? Listen, I don't want to get no letters from nobody up in this place. These are godly prayers. Can we say amen? Okay. Just had to throw that out there. But you got to use the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. So as we're talking about this spiritual battle, as we're talking about taking a stand, one of the greatest ways we can take a stand, one of the most powerful ways we can take a stand in our life, in our relationships, in our finances, is through prayer. Now, some of y'all just died inside because you hate prayer. It's okay. God hears your cry. You just died. But prayer is so important. And prayer is almost a mysterious thing because how does it actually work? What is the formula to prayer? Is there a better way to pray? Is there a more powerful way to pray? What is it? And oftentimes we almost feel condemned because we go into prayer knowing we ain't going to have enough time to pray because we ain't going to wait all day. But we know that we haven't prayed in a while and we're feeling already bad. So the whole time you were repenting while you're praying. So what, it almost doesn't make sense. But prayer is so powerful. It is one of the best predictors of your future. Who you become depends on what you pray. The transcript of your prayers will be the script of your life. It is powerful. In fact, the disciples, they came to Jesus one night, and I love it. They had the Savior of the world in front of them. They had Jesus Christ, the one who created all, the one who is all, in front of them. They could have asked anything. Jesus, I want to walk through walls. Jesus, I want lasers to come out of my eyes. Jesus, I want all kinds of, I would do that one. But Jesus, I want all kinds of things. But they didn't ask him that. The disciples asked them one question. Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Because they knew the power of the source. They knew how important prayer was. They knew that this prayer could change their life. And Jesus teaches them. We're going to look at it right now. Jesus teaches them how to pray. And I love this. If we don't get this, our prayers will never make sense. And we'll always pray timid prayers. But in Luke 11:2, Jesus said to them, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. And he goes on to say a whole prayer, but we're not going to read that tonight because I don't need to go any further than that. The first word Jesus says, he says, Father. He says, Father. We have to get it straight. We are talking to our Father when we pray. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to convince anybody. We are talking to our Father. Because if you get that right, everything else makes sense. Jesus is your Father. And we have to understand that a Father loves us, provides for us, protects us, disciplines us when we need it. A Father is there. A Father wants the best for you, but I feel like so many of us may have this idea that maybe God doesn't want to fully bless us. Maybe God doesn't always want to heal us. Maybe God knows our deepest, darkest sins, and so he's going to withhold some things from us. Or maybe we have this idea of the Father that we do have on this earth. And maybe your dad was never there. And maybe your dad didn't treat you right. And maybe your dad was always bumming off of you and never providing for you. And you're saying, but if that's the Father, I don't know about that. This isn't an earthly Father. This is a heavenly Father who does not even compare. You cannot even compare him to your earthly Father. This is a Father who loves you. In Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But if we never get that straight, that we're praying to the Father, the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, the one who wants us to be happy, successful, healthy, we'll always pray timid, scared, prayers. But God wants bold prayers. God wants wild prayers. God wants you to step in faith and know that he is for you and not against you. You see, God honors bold prayers, and bold prayers honor God. He says, I am your father. As we're going to get into more of tonight, I want to hand out something real quick because we're going to focus a lot on prayer. So our interns went ahead and they made some booklets, and it has actually scriptures for a lot of stuff you might be going through, so that throughout the week when you're struggling, throughout the week when I'm struggling, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to be able to see the scriptures that I can pray over myself. Is that cool or what? Yeah? Okay, cool. So they're going to be handing that out. There's some scriptures on anxiety, on anger, on unforgiveness, on what else have we got? You name it, we got it. You got a problem? We got it, okay? So they're going to be handing that out. Yeah, okay. So prayer is going to be something that we are going to be focusing on for the rest of the night. Then we're actually going to go back into worship and get to pray. But you know what's the most frustrating thing about prayer? Is we want results, right? How many of y'all ever gone to the gym and you work out once and then you look in the mirror and you're like, what? Nothing happened? Right? About to break that mirror. You know what I'm saying? You eat one salad and you're like, oh, I know that I look good today, okay? And you go look in the mirror and you're like, I ain't never gonna eat a salad again, okay? I feel you. My Chick-fil-A salads, hallelujah. But we want results. And nothing is more frustrating when you work and you work and you try and you try and you try to do your hair all good, but you still have a bad hair day. Why, God? Ladies, you know what I'm saying? It ain't right. It ain't right. Nothing is more frustrating than working with no results. Everybody wants results. There's a story in the Old Testament. His name is Elijah. He lived on the earth around the 9th century B.C. He lived in Israel at the time. At the time, so many people were turning from God. In fact, he was one of the very few people in Israel at that time still serving God. Everyone else turned against him. Everyone else said, God, you stay there. We're going to go over here. God, we found actually some other gods. We made them up, but we found them, and we're going to follow them, and it's going to be awesome. And here Elijah was serving God. Elijah was in the mountains at the time. He was surrounded by these beautiful mountains. And God speaks to him. Elijah was a prophet. God, that simply means that Elijah would speak to the people on behalf of God. And so God speaks to Elijah and says, Elijah, let's do something a little crazy. I'm going to tell you to go ahead and pray for the rain to stop. You see, at the time, everybody was turned from God, and I'm going to be honest, God will do some wild things to get you back to him. Has anyone ever experienced that? He will do some wild things to rein you back in, okay? And so that's what he was doing. He was turning off the rain to get the hearts of the people back to him. And so Elisha prayed, and the rain's off, and they're kind of just waiting and hanging around. And at that time, he went ahead and he went to these people. There was about 400 of these people, and they didn't serve God. They served a god by the name of Baal. It was a false god, and I like Elijah because I think we would get along. I feel like we'd be like besties because he walks up to these people, and he's straight hood, okay? And he walks up to these people in 2 Kings, if you guys want to turn there. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. He walks up to these people and he says, you guys have been going from Baal to God, from Baal, the false god, back to God. He says, you guys have been just going back and forth, wavering this way and that way. You say God is real one moment, and then you go back to the false god. You believe in God one moment when it's comfortable, but then when it's not, you stop following him. And he says, make a choice. He even said this, if God is real, then follow him. But if Baal is real, then please follow him. For the love of God, just make a choice. I wonder if tonight somebody was brought here to hear that. I wonder tonight if somebody in this room, you've been serving God when it's comfortable, and then when it's not, you leave him. You've been serving God when you want to, but when things get rough, you fall apart. You've been serving God, and then when you sin once, you give up. And I wonder if God is saying, make a choice and choose him. So Elijah says that, and they didn't really have anything to say to them. And then he goes even further. He says, let's figure out who the real God is tonight. Tonight, we are just going to lay it down. We are going to figure out who the real God is. He said, you make your little altar over here, okay? It's like basically where you put wood. Actually, I have an example. Can we bring up my altar? I'm a visual person, people. Come on now. So he said, you make your altar over here. He said, I'm going to make my altar over here. And then what they began to do is they began to put wood inside of the altars, and they began to put wood inside the altars. In fact, back then it was very common to have sacrifices where they would sacrifice animals. If you're a vegan, close your ears. I know it hurts. But they began to build an altar. Thank you, Jimmy. Give it up for Jimmy, our intern, and Michael. This is my sad little altar. You might recognize it from the retreat where it all went down, tug of war. Okay, and so they would build their altar, and they would take their wood, and they would put it inside. And Elijah said, okay, whosoever God is real will send fire from heaven. Okay, this is like in front of hundreds of people. Sometimes I'm like scared to tell people like my prayer request, like I'm believing God to meet my bills. He's like, fire's going to come from heaven, okay? Like that's bold. I don't know if I could do that. And so in front of all these people, he says that. And he says, you know what? Y'all can go first. And so these people who are following the false gods of Baal, they began to dance around. They began to sing. They began to do all kinds of things. And they probably weren't singing Hillsong, but they were doing all kinds of things. And nothing happened. And it was really common for them to actually, these false religions, that they began to cut themselves. They began to cut themselves, in front of it and bleed all over it. How many of you guys know when you're looking for God in the wrong places? We do some crazy stuff. Anyone ever done some crazy stuff looking for God in the wrong places? And so here they are, they're waiting and nothing happens. Elijah, he's throwing some shade. He says, you know what? Maybe your God's not listening. He said, maybe your God is asleep. Elijah even said, maybe your God is on the toilet. Straight savage, okay? And Elijah don't play, y'all. That's in the Bible. If you don't believe me, please look. And he says, maybe your God is on vacation. Nothing is happening. He says, all right, my turn. Let's do it. But Elijah wanted to raise the stakes. He says, I want to show you how big my God is. He said, bring out a gallon of water. And it said he built trenches all around the wood. It says he began to pour it. He said, okay, bring out another gallon of water. He said, let's do it. My God's big. He said, all right, I need another gallon of water. He said, my God can do the impossible. And said that he completely filled the trench of the altar. He created an impossible situation for a God of the impossible. And let's read what happened. In 1 Kings 18, verse 36. It says, at the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God of Israel. And that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. Oh, Lord, answer me. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have brought me back to yourself. And look at this in verse 38. It says, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up the water of the trench. God don't leave nothing. It says, and when the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground, and the people cried out, the Lord is God. Yes, the Lord is God. It says that God answered immediately. that God responded immediately. The situation was impossible, but God did it. I truly believe that tonight when we come up here and we pray, there are some impossible situations in this room. There are some things going on. There are some sicknesses in your families, and God wants to do the impossible. He wants to do some miracles tonight. And God often does that. You know, just last Friday, I prayed with some young adults, and not even by Sunday, I was getting texts. God already answered my prayer. Sunday morning, someone grabs me, pulls me aside. Beth, you're not going to believe it. God already answered my prayer. 4 months ago, I prayed with a woman. Her name is Miss Karen. She's just an amazing servant here, and she volunteers. And it was a Thursday morning. It wasn't a special Thursday morning. It wasn't a spiritual Thursday morning. It was a boring old Thursday morning. And she came up to me, and she said, Beth, I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. I've been smoking for 15, 20 years. I can't even count. She said, I'm done. Pray for me. I said, in the name of Jesus. And I prayed my heart out. She never smoked again. Never once. If you've ever smoked cigarettes, you know that is wild. And he answered immediately. That's our God. But I got to be honest, and I got to think about the prayers that I've been praying for years. And I feel like nothing's changed. I got to think about the hospital rooms that I've been going to visit the same people and pray the same prayers. And I feel like nothing's changed. I got to think about some of the prayers that you come to me with time after time after time. And it feels like nothing changes. So what do you do with that when it's not immediate? When you feel like you can't see it, when you feel like you can't feel it. Well, Elijah's story isn't over. If we go back to 2 Kings, Elijah was called to pray back the rain. Elijah, bring back the rain. They've turned their hearts back to me. Let's restore this thing. Elijah's probably thinking, come on, God, give me a hard one. Are you kidding me? I prayed the rain to stop. I brought freaking fire from heaven. Okay, I'm going to pray the rain back. Easy. In 1 Kings 18:41, it says, then Elijah said to Ahab, he hasn't even prayed yet. Look what he says to Ahab. Go get something to eat and drink. I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Y'all, that's faith. Or he lying, but it could be faith, okay? He's saying, I'm already hearing a rainstorm. And then in verse 42, it says, and Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of the Mount Carmel, and he bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. You know, that's a real prayer right there. Then he said to his servants, go out and look towards the sea. So he prayed for the rain. He sent his servant. Then the servant went and looked, and he returned to Elijah, and he said, I didn't see anything. Elijah probably sent out a servant saying, oh, the rain's probably already here. Put on his rain boots, got that poncho on, opened that umbrella. He is ready to go. But this servant comes back and says, nothing's changed. Wait a second. But God, you just brought fire from heaven. You stopped the rain. I'm praying the same way I always pray. What's different? I mean, haven't you ever done that? You got to your knees and you prayed everything you had. You read every scripture that you possibly could. You even cried out some tears and you're crying out to God, but nothing changes. The servant said, there's nothing out there. But I got to ask you this question. If we're talking about healing, and let's say I pray for healing. I say, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I got to ask you, am I healed when I pray, or am I healed when I see the sickness leave? Because in Isaiah 53, it says, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, you are healed. That was written far before I was born. You see, your healing took place on the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he took our sickness and our pain and our shame and our mistakes, and he took it all then. So I got to remind somebody in this room tonight that when you pray, your healing, it takes place, but you may not see it and you may not feel it. But I got to ask you, isn't that what faith is? Hebrews tells us that faith is believing when you cannot see. But we get so upset when we cannot see and we still have to believe. We quote the verse all the time. But faith is believing when you cannot see, when it doesn't feel like it, when it doesn't look like it. But to keep on believing, to know that your healing came, to know that that dream in your heart that God dropped in, it's going to come to pass one day. To know that God can restore your marriage. To know that God can take your loneliness and turn it into a season of joyfulness. To know that, man, God can take that depression and set you free. And let's look at what Elijah does. It says that the servant came back and he said, I don't see anything. Then it says, seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Seven times Elijah prayed. Seven times on his knees, okay? God, bring back the rain. Did it happen? Okay. Okay, God, bring back the rain. Is it okay? God, I'm looking stupid now. Bring back the rain. And he kept praying, and he kept praying, and he kept praying, and he kept praying. And then look at this. It says, on the seventh time, finally the seventh, somebody say finally. Finally, the seventh time, it says, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry, run to Ahab, tell him to climb into his chariot to go home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds and a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. On the seventh time, he prayed again and again. I got to ask you this. What if he didn't pray a seventh time? What if Elijah said, you know what? I've tried. I've tried to convince God. I've tried to convince everybody. But nothing is changing. What if he stopped on six? You know, my sister, we both grew up with the same youth pastor, Pastor Eddie Alguera. Whoop, he's the mom. And I remember, and I was a youth, I still remember his message. I don't know what it was called. I just remember him saying the statement. And me and my sisters, we often quote it to each other. We want to give up. We want to throw in the towel. We say, you know what? I don't know if I'm called to do this. We quote it to each other. We say, Beth, remember what Pastor Eddie said. He said, what if your victory is on the other side of just one more prayer? Just one more. What if he stopped at six? What if someone in this room is going to stop at six? What if someone in this room is saying, I've been praying. I've been believing. I'm just going to coast now. We're just going to deal with their sickness. We're going to get them. We're going to make them comfortable. Who's stopping at six? God's called us to go on, to keep on praying. And then I love this part. It's wild. The servant came back and he said, I saw a cloud the size of a hand. Okay, imagine that. I mean, far away over the sea, the size of a hand. And Elijah's like, that's it. The storm is here. Like, okay, Elijah, let's just bring it down. Right here, he saw with eyes of faith. I know it just may look like a little cloud. I know it may look like nothing to nobody else, but I see it with eyes of faith. To me, that is my rainstorm. That is my healing. That is my breakthrough. That is my break of this addiction. That is it. Eyes of faith. And God is calling us to stand up, to speak authority, to not stop at six, but to keep going. I got one more verse, and the band can come up. Actually, it's an exciting verse, so I feel like it's too exciting to be sitting down. Can everyone just stand up real quick? I feel like this verse, you just cannot listen to it sitting down. You know, like you need some room because it's about to get crazy. When I read this, it's about to get wild. Are you guys prepared? Are y'all ready? I hear you. I hear you, Mel. I hear you. It's in Romans, in the 8th chapter. 11th verse, it says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give you life. He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. It says the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I got to remind you of a time when the devil gave Jesus his best shot. He says, Jesus, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to put you on a cross. Jesus, you cannot handle this. In fact, the Savior of the world laid in a tomb. What a dark time. What a silent time for the world. That the Savior, the one who's supposed to save and rescue, was now dead in a tomb. And the devil gave him his best shot. And it wasn't good enough. It says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. Please don't ever underestimate the authority you have over your own life. Please don't ever underestimate the authority you have over your situation. It's not just the situation you were dealt. It's not just a bad time for you. But this is, no. God is saying we need to take a stand because the very Spirit that overcame the devil is actually dwelling within you. So there is nothing too big and there is nothing too hard and there is nothing set in stone when it comes to Jesus. So we're going to sing a song. I forgot the words, but they know them. But we're going to sing a song, and as we sing it, I want to open up the altar, and I want you to come. And if there's something in you, if there is an addiction, if there is a depression, if there is a lack of control of anger in your life, if there is something that has a hold of your mind, if there is anxiety that is pulling you down, if there is a sickness in your body or in your family, then I want you to come and I want you to pray. And I want you to sing. And I want you to overcome the devil because the authority lies within you. The power is not you, but the power is in you. So as they sing, we're going to open up the altar. And I'm going to pray. God, I thank you that as we come before you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, your Spirit, Lord God, your Spirit, Heavenly Father, is speaking to us. Your Spirit, Lord God, is the one who's overcome the enemy, God. And we take authority by the name of Jesus. And we overcome every darkness, every foul thing that's trying to come against these families, come against these individuals, Lord God. And we thank you that you alone are God. In Jesus' name.
That crushed the
make your way to the altar.
Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power, same power that crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power, same power. That crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power, same power. That crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power. That crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power, that crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power, same power. That crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power, that crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power, that crushed. Same power, same power, same power lives in me. Same power. power, same power that crushed the enemy. Same power, same power, same power lives in me.
So Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that right now we break every addiction in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold over these people in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that anxiety and fear and depression and anger cannot dwell where you dwell. So we rebuke it with the authority of Jesus Christ, because God, you dwell within us. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And there's something else I want to pray for. These are prayer requests. We need healing from cancer. We need healing from leukemia. We need healing from MS. I could go on and on. Prayer requests. But I believe that tonight, there's some of us who are believing for healing in our bodies or our family bodies. And if we could just take a step back, and if that's you and you're believing for a family member, you're believing for healing for yourself, faith is here, the presence of God is here, and I want you to just take a step forward, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray. I find it hard to believe that these are the only individuals who need prayer. If you're praying for a family member, make your way up. Somebody has to stand in the gap for them. If we don't pray for them, can I ask you who will? So we're going to pray. And if you're standing back there, could you just stretch your hands forward? Because these are real lives, real people. And we serve a real God who's going to heal tonight. So Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. That God, that you would just overwhelm them with peace right now. I thank you that nothing is too big for you, Father. I thank you that in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that family members right now would be touched wherever they are, that individuals right now would be touched wherever they are. I thank you, Lord God, that in Jesus' name, by your stripes, we are healed, Lord God. And we just claim healing in the name of Jesus. We claim healing, Lord God, over every sickness. We cast out every sickness and every foul thing. I thank you, Lord God, leukemia cannot stand. Cancer cannot stand. Oh, thank you, Lord God, that lumps will fall off in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that MS will not dwell any longer, Lord God. I thank you that mental illness must stop at the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that nothing is impossible for you. And so you heal them as they come before you in faith. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Can we just give God a praise tonight? I'll tell you what, God is so good. And God is here. And I read that verse when Elijah went to the people who weren't serving God. And he went to them and he said, would you just make a choice? You know, if you're in this place and you haven't chosen God yet, if you're in this place and when that was read to you, you felt it. If you're in this place and you choose